Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock here this afternoon and hope you'll be able to stick with us. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you this afternoon. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here today with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And let's go ahead and open our program here this afternoon with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Thank you for a beautiful day today, Lord, even though it's a little cold and breezy out, but it's a beautiful November day. We just thank you for it, another day to serve you. And we just want to praise you for all you've done for us. Bless now. Help us to be a blessing, encouragement to somebody today, and point people to Christ through the things we talk about. And we just pray your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, like I said, it's good to have you with us today. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our telephone line's open, 888-677-9673. And I want to point out, you can always find out more about us at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and that connects to our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio website, as well as to our Facebook page for Live with Pastor Al. You can find all that at livewithpastoral.com, and you can find out more about our church, more about the program, and you can also listen to previous programs there. I upload them usually within a couple of days after the program. Our Friday afternoon, as well as our Sunday night program, we're on for an hour right here on this station every Sunday night from 11 o'clock until midnight with an hour of the program. So we'd love to hear from you. And if you go on there and you do Facebook, you can find our Facebook page and like us on Facebook. But that's livewithpastoral.com. Well, like I said, it's a gorgeous day, really. I mean, it's a little crisp. A little bit of a breeze, and most of the leaves are gone, but for a November day, especially when yesterday they were calling for some wet snow accumulation last night, and then I think by 11 o'clock they were kind of pushing that out of the forecast here for Northeast Ohio, and got up this morning and didn't have any snow on the ground, so that was good, but it's still a little chilly. It's actually 37 degrees when I left my house to come up here to the studio here in Independence, Ohio. But I hope you're having a great day today. And I wanted to talk about something here today. And, of course, we will talk about what's on your mind as well. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. But in the meanwhile, I want to turn over here to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and a couple of weeks ago we started talking a little bit about what we call the rapture. That's an event that the Bible teaches, though the word rapture is not found in the Bible, and I mentioned that that's a word that we give to the catching away of the believers that's described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And there's several things with that that I wanted to talk about here. I've had some questions asked if we could address this, and we've sort of touched on it a little bit, and then we've had other things come up with the elections. And by the way, I just want to extend my appreciation and thanks to those of you who are praying for the elections this past Tuesday. I was telling somebody earlier, I feel a lot better this post-election than I did 2 years ago, and I really think God has given us a chance to put some people in office that hopefully will take a more constitutionally correct view of government and a more biblically correct view of government than some of the people that we've had in control in the past. But at any rate, here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible says, starting verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." And when he's talking about them which are asleep, we're talking about people who have died. You'll see this euphemism of being asleep referring to people who have died in the Bible. And there's a key thing here, and you have to see when you see this. It'll solve a lot of confusion. He says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." And there's a key point there again, that the Bible says, "Them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." And that tells us something about where the dead in Christ are. The Seventh-day Adventists teach that when you die, you have what they call soul sleep. And there's a problem with that. One of the problems with that is that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul said, "Be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord." And the Lord, according to John chapter 10, is in heaven building a house for us, a place for us. And so if we die and we're with him, just like 2 Thessalonians chapter 4 says here, that Jesus will, those which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And so that says that the dead are with Christ in heaven. And it also tells us in that sentence, or that statement there in 1 Thessalonians 4:14, that Jesus is God. Them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And then we see it talking about Jesus coming back. And it says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." And prevent in that particular usage means to precede, which means we will not precede them which are asleep. And it's not a misuse of the word prevent. We just don't typically use the word prevent that way so much today. But with the help of a dictionary, it's very easy to figure that out. And certainly the Greek word there refers to preceding. And it says, we'll not prevent those which are asleep. Now, sleep refers, again, to those that have died. Because when you go to a funeral, you don't see the person laying in the casket with their eyes wide open. They have their eyes closed, and they're laying there as if they're sleeping. And they even have a little blanket around them as if they're in a pillow underneath their head. It's like they're sleeping. And so that's our euphemism for death there. These people are dead. And then it says in verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." And this is where our Seventh-day Adventist friends say, "Well, see there, you're in the grave." No, remember, we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. When we die, absent from the body, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That means your soul and your spirit, if you're saved, go to be with the Lord in heaven. Where's your body go? Well, it goes on display at the funeral, if you have a funeral, and then it gets buried into the grave or into the if it gets cremated or whatever happens. But the body does not go to heaven. So the dead in Christ, they're with God in heaven, but their bodies are here on earth, and that's what we're talking about. The dead in Christ shall rise first. That's the body, the resurrection of the body. If it's dead or in decayed, God will bring it back together again. If it's been burned up in a fire or cremated, God will bring it back together again. God will produce that body. That's the resurrected body that Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 calls an incorruptible body. And then we which are alive and remain in verse 17 shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so we ourselves, our bodies will physically change into the immortal, incorruptible, resurrected body like that of the resurrected Christ. And then he says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And in chapter 5, and we've got a caller calling in that I'll get to in just a moment here. And he says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night." And so there's indication there that this event that we've just read will take place suddenly without warning. And we have the trump of God. It's not the last trump as in the last trumpet of the book of Revelation, the seven trumpets that sound. It's the last trump as in on the day of Rosh Hashanah, the festival, what do they call it? The Feast of Trumpets, I believe it is. And they have a series of trumpet blasts that take place. And in the last trump would be the one that's signified there. That's why many people believe that the rapture may occur possibly at the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. So anyway, we can talk about that some more. But again, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, 888-677-9673. And we have John waiting on the line. And John, welcome to Live with Pastor Al this afternoon.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, good to have you.
Hey, I had a question about the Bible.
Yes, sir.
We have a pastor that's bringing a guy in that's he wants to make him a youth pastor, but we listen to this guy speak. He doesn't talk with power or anything. All he talks about is the pastor and how good of works that he does. And me and the other preacher tell the pastor that we don't think that this guy knows enough about the Bible. How would you go about that in a Bible way? Scripture.
Okay, well, let's take a look first off in 1 Timothy chapter 3, okay?
Okay. I'm going to hang up and listen to you.
All right.
Okay?
Well, thank you, John. Appreciate that. That's actually a very good call because whether you're considering getting a youth pastor in your church or maybe you're a church where the pastor has perhaps retired or resigned or gotten sick or some reason no longer able to fulfill his role as pastor, sometimes churches are in a situation and they have to call a pastor. Now, there's mistakes that we can make. I know of a church in the Akron area that when they were interviewing pastors, they wanted this one guy to be their pastor because he was such a good speaker. And somebody pointed out that he wasn't actually saved. And the people said, "That's okay. He's such a good speaker. We'd still like to have him. Maybe he'll get saved." That's not what you look for in a pastor. I've heard people say when they consider a pastor, he's somebody that really gets along with everybody and he's a good leader and he's a person that knows how to raise money. There's another good one that people look at, or whatever. Now, those aren't always good reasons. This is what we should look for in a pastor. And certainly searching for a pastor, a youth pastor, assistant pastor, a senior pastor, whatever it is, number one should be prayer. Obviously, we should pray and ask God to direct us to the man for that position. And I believe the church as a whole should be involved in this prayer effort. And certainly, depending on the size of the church, all or a significant portion of the church should be involved in the effort to find this person in some way, certainly in prayer. But I do believe that churches should vote on a new pastor. But anyway, this we have independent, I believe in independent churches, so that's my opinion. But 1 Timothy 3, Paul writes this, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop," that's a pastor, "he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." And this is a list of qualifications for the ideal pastor. Now, it goes without saying that he must be born again, obviously. And obviously, he must have the same views that you have, and that's obvious too. Certainly, if you're looking for a pastor for an independent Baptist church, you wouldn't want to candidate somebody who's a Lutheran minister unless they had changed their conviction and become a Baptist in their conviction. And certainly, so that should go without saying. But here's the ideas here, and I would like to say that every pastor measures up to this list 100%, but we should certainly strive for it. There must be a desire, I think, on behalf of the candidate. And as he says here, blameless. You're looking for somebody who has a good reputation, somebody who's got a good godly reputation, not a good reputation just secularly, but a godly reputation, somebody has a good testimony, somebody who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and no matter what people might say about him, they know that this is a man of God. And husband of one wife, you don't want somebody who's marrying one wife after another. And in the time this was said, certainly polygamy was practiced in many areas and still is in many parts of the world today. And that would leave out your polygamists. And of course, if somebody is divorced, people are going to question that then. And so I think your ideal pastor, husband of one wife, then the next thing with that comes in is what about an unmarried person to be a pastor? And, some churches, they will not hire a pastor who's unmarried. And there is some wisdom in that. However, there are a number of good men who pastor who are unmarried. And does that mean that if the pastor is married and his wife should die, that he can no longer be the pastor? See, again, that's why I say this is our checklist of this is what we're looking for in the ideal candidate: vigilant, sober. Sober doesn't mean just not drinker, but they're of a sober mind. They're serious-minded in that they realize the gravity of the job that they have. I passed over vigilant. They're vigilant, watchful, always on the lookout for the church and for the flock, of good behavior. And again, that goes back to the blameless and all that. Later on, it says no striker and not a brawler. So you want somebody who's got a hair trigger temper, given to hospitality. Some pastors are more given to hospitality than others. It doesn't mean that they have to be a real gregarious, outgoing, super extrovert. A lot of introverts can be pastors and apt to teach. It doesn't mean that they have to be the greatest teacher, but they should have an ability to teach. And again, I don't really have time to go through this whole list, but you can go through this list here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And Titus writes about it as well in Titus chapter 1, verse 6-9, has some of the same qualifications and a few more. And there's elsewhere in the scripture. And anybody being considered, whether it's a youth pastor, as our caller asked, or an assistant pastor, or even a senior pastor, this is the kind of list that we should be looking at. We should try to find somebody who measures up to this list as best as possible. And of course, bathe the situation in prayer. I think that there ought to be input from the congregation. There ought to be input from the deacons, if you have deacons. There ought to be input from other pastors, if you have other assistant pastors in the church. And the church is a body of believers. And so that's where these things ought to be considered. And that's probably a little shorter answer than what I should give, but I just wanted to bring some of those things out. The church should be involved, and we're a body of believers. All right, I want to move on to our next caller, though. We have another caller, and we have Pam calling in. Pam, welcome to Live with Pastor Al.
Thank you. Hi, Pastor.
Hi, thanks for calling.
I just wanted to ask you, the body of Christ,
right?
Is this only in a local church, or is it with other like-minded believers and those who are in one accord?
All right. There's two things that we should understand with the body of Christ. The body of Christ is is first and foremost, it would be the local church. That's the local body of believers that's visible. And that's why, for one thing, why I'm an independent Baptist. But we also have what's referred to in scriptures as the Church of the Firstborn, I believe it is. And let me see if I can find a reference on that. But that is a reference to all the believers of this dispensation of grace, and that will not meet as a body until we all come together in heaven. And at that time, we will meet for the very first time. Here it is, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. But when we get to heaven, when the rapture takes place, I was talking about earlier, the Christians that have died in the past a couple thousand years, as well as all of the believers that are living today, we will assemble as one body in heaven for the very first time. See, a lot of people try to talk about the body of Christ being all the believers on earth right now, various denominations and such not. But the Bible refers to the body of Christ or local church as a body of Christ on earth right now. Each local church is an individual representation of the body of Christ. And so there's no universal church on earth right now. That's for one of the reasons why I'm not a Roman Catholic, because Catholic means universal. They, in their very name, it's a universal church. And that's why, as an independent church, we do not have bishops or cardinals or supervisors, you know, in some denominational headquarters over top of us. There's no Baptist church as in a large organization, like you could say the Methodist Church or the Presbyterian Church. We're even the Southern Baptists are largely, you know, self-governing individual churches. Though as independent Baptists, we probably take it a step further. We don't have binding obligations in terms of conventions and things like that. Did that get close to what you were looking for?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, again, that's a good question, though, because that's one of the reasons why we should be associated with a body of Christ, or a local fellowship of believers, so we can exercise our gifts that are given to the body of Christ so that we can serve him, because the spiritual gifts that God gives you are given to be used, you know, to edify the body of Christ that you're a member of, that you're involved in, so that, let's see here, in Ephesians chapter 4, it says in verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And it goes on to talk about doctrine and things like that there. So, yeah, that's what we should all be working together in the local church body, as that's the local body of Christ on earth. So,
okay, thank you very much.
Hey, I appreciate your question today. Thank you for calling. And we've got another caller lined up. We've got Nancy calling in. And Nancy, welcome to Live with Pastor Al.
Oh, hi, Pastor Al. Thank you so much for taking my questions. And just a real quick aside, I'm just really pleased with the election that, you know, some biblical values will maybe be carried out with, you know, hopefully some of these candidates are more likely being proposed.
Right.
What
right.
I wanted to ask you about was if a church cannot find a man... pastor, and the church believes that lady pastors are okay and they can serve in this capacity, is it better for a church just to wait and pray for a male pastor and have guest speakers, or
yeah, I'm gonna have to interrupt, we got 30 seconds left. The heart of that real quick there. I think they should wait until God would bring forth a man.
Okay.
Because a woman as a pastor is going to have to exert spiritual authority over the men in the church. And as Paul in 1 Timothy 2 verse number 12 says that shouldn't be done. Sorry, out of time today. We'll talk about this again sometime, and stay tuned for another program.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The preceding